Unlike Vegas, what happens in Greece financially may not stay in Greece. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Greece's new government is on record saying it needs to renegotiate its debt to ease years of austerity, but the European Central Bank last night applied new financial restrictions on Greece, with analysts seeing this as a move to remind Greece who holds the purse strings. At stake is Greece's membership in the Eurozone and, more widely, the stability of the global financial system. The BBC's Chris Morris joins us from Brussels. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, David.
I want to understand this a little better. The European Central Bank restricted what Greek banks can do in what way?
That they can no longer offer Greek government bonds, which are basically rated as junk, as collateral for funding from the European Central Bank. That's funding they basically need to help them keep their day-to-day operations going. There are other ways they can be financed, and what they're going to have to do is rely now on what's known as emergency liquidity assistance. It comes with a slightly higher interest rate, and here's the thing, the ECB can demand anyway that that too could be cut off. If they did that, that I think would be the nuclear option. At the moment, those banks can still struggle on, but this feels like a bit of a blow.
And to be clear, the emergency liquidity money is still available. Just question is at what interest rate and so forth.
It is still available. I think at the moment there's no danger, at least for now, of Greek banks facing a liquidity crisis. The one thing that policymakers can't control is something like a run on the banks. And I think all of these fears are out there and they're weighing on the minds of the Greek government. And this is a government, as you know, has been on this charm offensive across Europe, trying to go around explaining that we have this democratic mandate. The rest of Europe is just ratcheting up the pressure a bit, saying, not so fast, it's not going to be that easy.
The BBC's Chris Morris in Brussels. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Anyone who uses the internet should pay attention to what at first blush may seem like a minor bureaucratic shift in Washington. The FCC chairman today will circulate a proposal to reclassify internet providers. Regulators regard them as information services now, but FCC chairman Tom Wheeler wants to call them telecommunications companies. Those little words have weight in the debate over network neutrality. Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
To be clear, what's coming in the months ahead at the FCC is a pitched battle, but it's a battle for the future, not the present.
The day before the rules and the day after, they're probably going to look pretty similar.
Similar for consumers, says Doug Drake. He's with the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. For internet providers, though, it'll be very different.
Companies like AT&T and Verizon have already stated very explicitly that they're going to sue.
Kevin Warbeck was an FCC counsel in the Clinton administration. He's now a professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
I think it's very unlikely that the legal issues will be resolved in less than a year or two.
The FCC is also opening itself up to legal challenges on how to interpret the new internet rules. That's according to David Farber, a former chief technologist at the FCC.
Special interest groups will come in and say, you can't not do this because it's in the rules.
For their part, senior FCC officials say they expect legal challenges ahead and think their proposal can withstand them. In New York, I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Some will see our next story as a charming development. For others, it's a new sign society is going to Hades in a handbasket. People going online to get ordained so they can officiate at a wedding. You may have seen this in action, but we asked Marketplace's Stan Alcorn to learn more about how it works.
Kate Black is getting married and wants her brother-in-law, Matthew Kerrigan, to officiate. So they're looking for a church.
Universal Life Church. GetOrdained.org.
Or really a church website.
Oh yeah, this is it.
Well, let's go down the rabbit hole.
Getting ordained online.
Are you over 13?
I am.
Takes about 2 minutes.
Wow.
Welcome Matthew Charles Kerrigan to the Worldwide Congregation of the Universal Life Church Ministers.
You fill out a form online.
Yes.
And you get an automatic response.
Yes.
And then you're a minister.
Yeah, you can do that or you can write in.
George Freeman is the founder of Kerrigan's new church, the Universal Life Church Monastery.
Thank you for calling the Universal Life Church. How may I help you?
The monastery is based in a squat office building in a Seattle warehouse district. Each day it turns more than 1,000 people, of all faiths, atheists included, into ministers. And it also sells what it calls church supplies.
Yes, I can see the mail cartons are already filled.
This is how the nonprofit pays for its $1 million-plus operating budget, selling wallet credentials, certificates, letters of good standing, not just as souvenirs, but as documents, to convince a higher legal power that its ministers and its weddings are legit. But this is where the quick and easy process becomes more complicated.
Some of the websites, they lead people to believe that they can lawfully perform weddings in all states. And that's just not true.
Bob Raines, law professor emeritus, says each state makes its own rules about who can perform marriages. And the rules are a little fuzzy. Even if your county clerk accepts your minister's website wallet credential and gives you a marriage license, that doesn't settle things till death do you part.
Typically, just like a divorce, this is going to come up when the marriage has hit the skids.
If there's a property dispute or alimony, a husband or wife might want to point a finger at the minister and say the marriage didn't count. And Rain says that's happened in New York and Pennsylvania. So before you get married by an internet minister, he suggests getting legal advice from a lawyer, not a website. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And we've been following the meeting in Berlin today between the fire-breathing new finance minister of Greece and the always intense finance minister of Germany. They're pulling in opposite directions on Greece's debt, and Yanis Varoufakis and Wolfgang Schäuble were never destined to be best buddies. Emerging from the meeting today, Varoufakis' line was, "We didn't even agree to disagree." In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.